This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you, oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies, I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh,
oh, yeah, a little Buddy Holly. That'll get you going. That'll get the blood circulating. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, April the 3rd, as we move along through the year 2024. Lots going on today. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, an old friend of ours. We are going to talk to him about California's new minimum wage law, $20 an hour minimum in the Golden State, a move that Sean says is going to end up destroying jobs in California. So we'll talk to him in just a few minutes about that. And while one governor vetoes a bill that would protect biological female sports teams, another one okays a bill that would reverse the decriminalizing of hard drugs. I'm going to let you guess who those two states are, but we'll tell you a little later in the show. And remember J.K. Rowling, the author of all the Harry Potter books? She is daring Scotland police to arrest her for challenging a new hate speech law they have in that country. We are going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you the top 10 countries with the highest suicide rates. We are going to give you today, at the end of the show, the top 10 countries with the lowest suicide rates. So there you go. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about somebody that Ed and I chatted about not long back. She was a former ESPN host. Her name is Sage Steele. She's going to have her own show, I guess. She's left ESPN. But she said in a recent interview that when she did an interview with Biden 3 years ago, every word of her questions were scripted by ESPN executives. She said that her bosses handed her a script and told her not to go off. Don't divert from this one iota. Steele said, I was told you will say every word that we write out, you will not deviate from the script and go. She said, to the word, every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many editors and executives. She said, absolutely. She said, I was on script and was told not to deviate. Now, she was talking about this on Fox News. Here's the question. Did the White House put the squeeze on ESPN to have her ask questions that they knew were coming? Well, she said she did not know for sure whether or not ESPN sent their questions to the White House ahead of time. But she seemed confident that that probably is what occurred. Well, I think so. I mean, do you think some ESPN executive on his own is going to go off and say, hey, come over here, Sage, I want to talk to you. We've written out all the questions. No, I'm sure that they must have been handed the questions from the White House so that good old Joe would know what was coming.
Yeah, absolutely, and it fell under the umbrella of all the other stuff that happened with Sage Steele and ESPN, with the fact that she came out against the vaccine, which they were not supposed to do. and fall under, you know, fall under the guidelines.
She decided to go her own route.
Exactly. She wanted to tell the truth.
Apparently so. And so she launched a new podcast. It's called The Sage Steele Show. Well, not, you know, I don't blame her. She's, you know, what's strike while the iron is hot, right?
Right.
Right now. But she said her brief interaction with Biden was what she called heartbreaking, actually. She felt bad for him. She felt he was being used. Well, I think
we all believe that. Absolutely.
I think, it, in a way, it's elder abuse. Without being funny about it.
Yeah.
She says, I think it's really heartbreaking that the people who love Joe Biden and say they truly care about him have allowed it to get to this point. So I'm not even looking at this from a political angle or my beliefs in anything. This is the human side of it. And when somebody is struggling, we allow them to continue to be in the spotlight, and we put them out there in the first place when they knew they were issues. She said, of course they had to know. So it's a humanity thing with me where I don't care where anyone stands and what they vote for or who they believe in. Do you really care about that person? As a father, as a husband, as in everything.
Sage, I don't want to say was great. Sage is a great reporter and a great personality. I knew her when she started here in Tampa at one of the local sports stations.
You knew her.
And she went on to great things. She rose quickly in the ranks. And she was anchoring on ESPN Sports Center and did a lot of great things. And she was dumped because of this whole thing. You know, that's when you wonder, here's a great, strong black woman. Where's the Me Too movement on that one?
Right.
You know? It's funny how they cherry pick what they want.
The laws are different when you're a black conservative. The laws change when you're a black conservative. All of a sudden, you're not in the fold.
Yeah.
You are literally, if I may use the term, a black sheep.
Yeah.
And they let you out to rule on your own. Here's an interesting story. I wanted to get this one in at some point today. This is as good a time as any. President Biden's campaign fully believes he can win Florida. How's that?
Is he talking about the lottery? Or?
The Biden team is claiming it can beat Trump in Florida due to his ongoing legal troubles and these financial penalties. This is Chavez Rodriguez, who is the campaign manager. I'm sorry, Julie Chavez Rodriguez is her name. She is the Biden campaign manager. She said, make no mistake, Florida is not an easy state to win, but it is a winnable one for Biden, especially given Trump's weak, cash-strapped campaign and serious vulnerabilities with his coalition. She went on to say that Florida is a state where Biden has a compelling story of results. She says that Trump and Rick Scott, who is the current senator from Florida, and their extreme agenda is making Floridians' lives worse, and that the Democratic coalition is growing and energized. Really? I don't get that feeling, but you never know, right?
I thought about this the other day, too. You look at the poll numbers, how he's starting to distance himself from Trump in the wrong direction.
Who's this?
Biden.
Oh, Biden.
Biden's poll numbers are just falling.
Yes.
Can you imagine? And Trump is Trump, and he has his haters out there. Can you imagine if what the poll numbers would be like if there was a universal guy or woman that all Republicans wanted to go against Biden? Can you imagine how the distance would be?
Oh, yeah.
Between the two of them? Because you got your Trump haters, I'm not going to vote for Trump, and you know,
that's right.
Down a little bit. It could be somewhere around 25 to 75, something like that.
Yeah. But this is, you know, very interesting. Now, Trump beat Hillary Clinton by one percentage point. This is interesting. He beat Clinton in 2016, 49% to 48%. Now, he got 51% against Biden. Biden got 48%. When the two of them went head-to-head here in Florida. Mm. So that was, again, there was only 3 percentage points. So, but I don't think it's going in Biden's direction, like you say. It's going the other way. Mm. So
I think we should just vote now.
Maybe we should vote Biden is no longer available to vote. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, an old buddy of ours, Sean Higgins, is going to join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about California's new minimum wage of $20 an hour.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Wednesday. It's kind of blustery here in Clearwater, Tampa Bay area right now. It's windy. Not normally quite this windy.
Spring breakers don't mind.
No, we don't. The spring breakers, of course they don't mind. I guess we have quite a few that come down to Tampa Bay, opposed to, I don't know, Miami Beach?
When it takes almost an hour to get across the causeway to the beach, where it would normally take 10 minutes. Yeah,
you're right. Yep, they're out there. Well, we're delighted to have back an old buddy of ours from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Sean Higgins. He's a research fellow there. He focuses, among other things, on labor and employment. So this particular topic is right up his alley. California has a new minimum wage. They have raised it to $20. I shouldn't be laughing about it, but they've raised it to $20 an hour. Now, anybody that's got half a brain going to realize that if you all of a sudden knock up a minimum wage to $20 an hour, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be forced out of different jobs. And so we're going to talk with Sean about it. Sean, welcome back. What's going on in California? I mean, the first thing I'm thinking about is all those hamburger flippers are going to be ushered the door. And they're going to, you know, more technology going to come into all of the, you know, McDonald's, Burger King's and the like.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see how anything else is going to happen. I mean, pay is is labor, and labor is a major cost of doing business. And if you're just going to raise it that high, that quickly, they're just not going to be able to employ as many people, and a lot of them are going to see the door, and they're going to find other ways to do it. There's some of these places now just, for example, don't have delivery anymore. They rely on app-based service, people getting stuff through app-based services, or they're just going to go to use more automation. We've already seen this in a lot of places where you order now through kiosks and just pick your stuff up at the counter, and you're just going to see more of that.
Yeah.
Instead of ensuring these people get more money, we're just limiting the number of jobs they can actually get.
It seems like California, maybe they just want to advance technology quicker. All you got to do is continue to raise the minimum wage. You're going to take human beings out of the equation. You're going to, we're going to be a completely technological place. I mean, in a way, it's kind of sad. In a way, it's also kind of scary, because what are these people going to do? I mean, it'll be interesting to see. And I guess this new minimum wage, did it take effect already this
The minimum wage specific to fast food joints, I believe, started on the 1st.
On the 1st, okay.
I don't live in California, so.
No, well, good for you. That means you're not going to have to buy a $35 hamburger quite yet. So that means there are going to be a lot of these people on April the 1st that were given the door. That's what I'm thinking anyway. Not just restaurants. It's any kind of, you know, it's always the entry-level jobs where the younger people are coming in and they're getting an opportunity to get some experience. So they come in and they're trained on site. And they're not paid as much as other people are paid, but they're learning and they're grateful for the opportunity. Doesn't the Governor Newsom in California, doesn't the legislature, don't they know this? They must know it.
I'm not sure that they do. I mean, there's a lot of, I'm with you on this. I mean, I worked minimum wage jobs when I was a teenager.
Yeah, me too.
And that was just the sort of the understanding. It was a way to make some extra money. You're still living at home. And, you know, these are the type of jobs that were typically low skilled, but they were good for the teenagers that got them. And that was the understanding through most of history. And then it just, fairly recently, you know, the idea of hiking the minimum wage to up to a quote-unquote living wage level was something that took hold back in the aughts, and it's just grown since then. And they keep pushing it higher and higher because, as the wage increases, then the median wages rise. And then, then suddenly it's no longer the living wage that it was previously, so we got to raise it again, and then we got to raise it again. And you get caught in what's called a wage price spiral, where you have to continually raise it to match the level. When, again, as you point out, it was never really meant to be a living wage in the first
place. No.
That's just a misunderstanding, or at least a misapprehension, I think.
Yeah. You know, the libertarian in me says that there should not be such a thing as a minimum wage, that people should allow whatever you want to call it, allow them to negotiate a wage with somebody. If I have an opportunity, say I'm a kid and I want to start out getting some sort of work, I can go to a guy. I don't have a specific ability yet, but he's going to take me in. He's going to train me. I mean, that costs him for time that he spends with me teaching me the trade, whatever it is. For instance, I worked in a bike shop. I didn't know a doggone thing about bicycles. And you know how much he paid me? 50 cents an hour to learn how to, dechain bicycles and the tires and everything else. I hated the job, but it still gave me the opportunity to learn something, and I came out of there at least with a little bit more knowledge, which is the same thing for any of these entry-level jobs where you're being trained. So I don't know where I'm going with this other than I wish there wasn't a mandated minimum wage, I guess. I think it would be better for everybody all the way around.
Well, the way I always put it whenever I'm, get a chance to sort of debate or talk to other people about this is, what we should be doing is not raising the minimum wage, but getting people jobs that pay better than the minimum wage. I mean, that was always the goal as I was younger. It was like a minimum wage job, a long time was something you didn't want to have unless you were just sort of living at home and it didn't really matter that you need to be able to pay bills. You got a real, a real job paid above the minimum wage, and that was what we wanted. That was what you wanted. And leaving the minimum wage behind should always be the goal. I mean, and that being the case, it doesn't necessarily matter too much where the minimum wage is. But if you start raising the floor, the absolute minimum that you can earn, well, then you can't earn anything less than everybody. That's a sort of equalizing factor. And while that's temporarily a good thing for some people, in the long run, it just makes that still the lowest you can earn, so that still becomes the bottom rung.
Mm-hmm.
And, you always need to, what you need to be doing is aspiring to go higher than what the absolute lowest you can earn is, not just sort of raising the floor, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. We're talking with Sean Higgins. Again, he is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses on labor and employment. And we're talking about this new minimum wage, $20 an hour. And, of course, it's not just restaurant workers. It's anybody that, And, of course, the other thing, Sean, is that if you're going to raise somebody's pay and they're at the bottom, then all the other people that have been making more than that person, don't you kind of have to up their salary too? I mean, they would become somewhat upset if, you know, they didn't get a hike in their salary as well. So all the way up the chain, with all of your employees, you kind of have to raise the rates, which means, of course, that whatever the product is that you're selling is now going to be raised. Unless you decide you're going to let go of a whole bunch of people, you're going to have to raise the cost of your product.
Well, to clarify something, the $20 minimum wage that California has now is specific to workers in fast food.
The minimum wage is
$16. Now, the question of what is and isn't a fast food restaurant is one of those very contentious things. I mean, everybody thinks they know it, but when you sit down and you start parsing out the differences between something, what is and isn't. For example, Panera Bread is actually exempted from it on the dubious basis that because they bake their own bread on location, and that somehow distinguishes them.
Really?
As some people pointed out, one of the executives of Panera Bread also happens to be an advisor to and a friend of Gavin Newsom.
Oh.
So that might have played into it.
How convenient.
But there's other cases. There's other sort of chained restaurants that sell things that were exempted from it. For example, there was a famous sort of incident where there's a popular pie chain, I guess, that they sell baked goods in California that was exempted from this type of stuff because, well, people don't come down and sit and eat a pie. But functionally speaking, I mean, how different is it working from one restaurant to another? And it's really sort of, it can screw over one employer from another, one worker from a different place, because why is one person getting $4 more an hour at the minimum than I am, even if I'm doing something functionally similar? And then of course, as we've been saying, it isn't necessarily a good idea to raise the floor anyway, but you create all this sort of weird caveats and exemptions, which is often what happens when you have these laws. Then basically you start picking winners and losers, and so on top of the basic sort of economic twists you throw in there, you throw these on top of it where, you know, the politics comes into it and starts getting even uglier that way.
Sean,
so it's just generally bad idea all around.
Yeah, I mean, if I were a fast food owner, I would consider suing the state, saying, wait a second, you know, you are discriminating against me. You're not raising the minimum wage for the guy down the street that's doing something different than I am. He can pay his people less than I'm forced to pay mine. You're telling me that because I'm selling hamburgers, that I got to pay my guy more than this guy down the street that's got a bike shop or whatever else he's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a discrimination suit.
I mean, is an ice cream shop the same thing as a fast food
joint?
Right. I don't know. And, you know, I'm not an insider on this, but these groups do have trade associations, so I assume one of them probably will try to find some way to challenge this in court, and who knows, we'll see what happens down the road. But for the time being, this is the law.
I guess it's kind of interesting. Maybe we should allow California to continue to stumble forward with these new philosophies and see where it takes them, you know, so that the other states can kind of sit back. You know, if I was... if I lived near the border, let's say between Arizona and California, and there was a McDonald's on the Arizona side and there was a McDonald's on the California side, and this new law was passed, guess where I'm going to go to buy my hamburger? Because I know my hamburger is going to be cheaper in Arizona, right? You would think.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm... There is an intellectual argument for what you said. I mean, let a thousand flowers bloom. Let the, you know, country have 50 different state level laboratories to test out different policies. And I would agree with that in general. But I would also throw in, California is a large state with a lot of people, and some people are going to be hurt by this.
Of course.
And I don't ever want to see people hurt.
No.
If it were a smaller state, I'd probably be more amenable to that argument.
Now you're discriminating, Sean. You're discriminating against the smaller states. Go ahead. I'm just kidding you.
Fair point, Paul. Fair point.
This is, but like you say, it is. It's sort of a testing ground. It's a large testing ground. It is affecting all these people. I mean, there's been enough reason for people to pack up and leave the Golden State. To me, this is one more thing, you know? I mean, everything, let's face it. your food's going to be more expensive one way or the other if that's what they're going to do with fast food restaurants in California. It's going to affect everything. And I don't know. I guess there's just, they got that philosophy. Go ahead.
Well, it's true that you can pack up and move over state line, theoretically, but the reality is a lot of people, that's just not a practical.
Of course not.
And they're going to have to go along with this.
Yeah, they're stuck here. Yeah.
And if you were somebody who, you know, I don't know, you were, working at, say, yeah, an ice cream shop or something like that, and suddenly now they're going to have to say, well, we're going to have to let you go because we can't afford to pay you $20 an hour. This is a bitter pill to swallow.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with you. I mean, you don't want to see this happen to these people. I just don't see how this is going to stand and stay. I just think somebody along the way is going to say, you know what, I think I'm going to take this one to court. But we'll see where all of that goes. Sean Higgins, keep up the good work at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We love you. And I can't wait to talk with you down the road again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Sean. All right. There you go. Glad we don't live in California, Ed. I want to see those guys at those fast food places do well, but man, oh man,
yeah,
I don't want a $14 hamburger.
I was looking to see, real briefly, check the menu. It appears they've gone up on average from 12 to 15%.
Really?
Overnight? Some of the prices.
Yeah. Inevitably.
Yeah.
Inevitably, all of those places, they're gonna have to do something. They can't sit.
Like you brought up, the thing for me is, what if you were there for a couple of years and you were making $17 or $18 an hour? Now, do you now make $22 or $23? That's a big jump
for the owner
to pay.
Of course it is.
I think there's going to be less employees and more responsibilities.
They're gonna foist the additional work on fewer people. That's for sure. Okay, let's take our break. When we come back, while one governor is vetoing a bill that would protect biological female sports teams, we got another governor. He's okayed a bill that's going to reverse the decriminalizing of hard drugs. We're going to tell you about both of them.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday. We're in the middle of the week, are we not? Thank you for being with us. So, you recall, Donald Trump has decided that if he becomes president, he will create what is called a Christian Visibility Day. This is on the heels of Joe Biden's declaration of Transgender Day of Visibility, which, by the way, happened to fall on Easter this past Sunday this year. It's supposed to be every March the 31st. Boy, I can't wait every year for Transgender Day of Visibility because I get to do all the kinds of things I never can do otherwise. So here's Trump. He says, and what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Trump was over in Green Bay, by the way, at a rally talking about this. He said, such total disrespect to Christians. So he has promised that November the 5th would be Christian Visibility Day if he is elected. And he says, and on November 5, it's going to be something else. You know, it's going to be called Christian Visibility Day. And everybody got real excited, I guess, at the rally and started applauding when he said that. Well, I mean, let's be honest. He's taking advantage of it's a political stunt in a way to do that. But I guess you can't blame him. I mean, every time the Biden administration somehow puts their foot in their mouth.
Yeah, and they're offending a lot of people, and people are starting to look forward to the good old days.
Of course.
When Trump would just annoy you with a tweet.
Exactly.
You know?
That's exactly right. And you know, another thing, did we talk about this the other day? Did you know that when they did the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn, that there was a rule that you were not supposed to design your Easter eggs with any kind of a religious symbol?
Yep.
What were they thinking on that one? Why not, you know, just totally trying to whitewash Easter from any religious aspect.
Well, it didn't stop there. From the White House balcony, Biden introduced the oyster bunnies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nothing like having about five or six oysters that you disseminate among the children. I mean, that's an interesting thing.
I think Peter Cottontail even looked back at him when he said oyster.
I bet he did. I bet he did. Speaking of oysters, and I don't know what this has to do with Andrew the Master Barber, but we have him with us. Andrew, welcome to Freedom Works again. You know, I don't know. We could talk about Biden. It's easy enough to talk about him. But I got a story here that has to do with Ron DeSantis and the Walt Disney situation. Maybe I'll run it by you. Mainstream media's open support for the Disney Corporation in their fight against DeSantis took on a whole new look after a settlement was reached last week that appears to end the whole thing in the favor of the governor. After ongoing legal battles, the Central Florida Tourism District, a board that was appointed by Ron DeSantis, voted to approve a settlement with Disney. The settlement addressed the two-year-long litigation battle over who rightfully controls what was formerly called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. Well, all this means is that Disney had control of a certain parcel of land around the district. They were kind of their own government there. And Ron decided that shouldn't be the purview of the Walt Disney World people. It should be something that the state would be able to oversee. Anyway, I thought I'd pass that by. How are you doing?
I'm living the dream, buddy.
Every day. That's good.
Every day.
So
and you got the governor in, Oregon there?
Yeah.
That she said, let's legalize all the drugs. It's a great thing. People are going to be fine. Now she's changed her mind.
Yes.
Huh?
In fact, you're stealing my thunder. I've been highlighting the fact that I'm going to talk about that, along with the Wisconsin governor. I might as well bring it up now. Like you said, the Oregon governor has signed a bill that recriminalizes hard drugs. It's a complete U-turn on the possession of certain drugs. The governor there is Tina Kotek. She signed into law a bill that reverses a law they had passed 4 years ago that had been approved on a referendum by the voters that decriminalized most possession of controlled substances. So now that kind of went off the tracks, didn't it? I mean, they had all kinds of trouble with that.
Well, Paul, that was ridiculous. How stupid are these people? You know, Paul, it's just like now they're putting the abortion on our ballot in November. You know what I was thinking the other day?
Yeah.
I said, if abortion was legal when I was young, okay? We'd have a lot less morons in this world today, wouldn't we?
We'd have fewer people, that's for sure. And there would be a certain percentage of morons that wouldn't be around.
And then, well, this is ridiculous, you know? Leave the 15 weeks alone. I myself don't believe in it. But if the people want the 15 weeks, that's their business, and they got to answer to God, not me.
Okay, so you're talking about Florida. Now, this is interesting because there's two things going on in Florida. One is the six-week
ban. Yeah, I think that's...
Go ahead. Ed, did you have something?
I think that's a little too harsh. I don't know.
The six-week ban.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's the 15-week. So now... in Florida, what are they going to do? Are they going to have a referendum on this?
Yes, yes, they got a referendum on it.
Okay.
And so, they're saying that this referendum will go from 6 weeks up until birth.
Now,
the way the wording
okay,
is.
Okay, so the referendum we're talking, I haven't seen the referendum, so that'll be coming. What we hear, folks, in Florida, we get a mail to us, so we have the opportunity to look over the ballot. And in this particular case, apparently we're going to have a referendum to extend the number of weeks that you can wait before you have an abortion from the current 6 weeks to 15. It would seem to me, Andrew, you tell me, it would seem to me that that will likely pass.
Oh, there's no question it'll pass. Just okay. like the marijuana referendum they're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
Recreational marijuana for, 21 and over. That's going to pass like crazy, too. The only thing I'm concerned about is these people are going to go vote for these and nothing else. Or if they do vote for these, they're just going to vote Democrat down the way.
So we also have a referendum on legalizing marijuana. We've already got medical marijuana legalized in Florida.
Right. And it's a moneymaker. Look at, let's face the facts. They charge you $300 to get your card. They could care less what you're doing.
Yeah.
As long as you pay that $300. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when it comes to drugs, the libertarian in me has always taken the approach that if you want to ingest something, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, you should have that right. The problem is that it's very hard to allow people to ingest all kinds of toxic drugs, and it doesn't and it not affect other people. It affects family members. It affects neighbors. If you get into a car, or it affects everybody.
It affects
everybody around you.
And
so
then we're going to have to pay their medical bills when they overdose.
So,
I mean, come on.
Does it affect anybody any more than alcohol does?
Well, alcohol's a drug.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And I agree. And that's the argument that a person can make. If you're going to ban certain hard drugs, then what about alcohol?
Okay.
What about cigarettes? We know that cigarettes are harmful.
I think we need to have a distinction between hard drugs and marijuana. I don't think marijuana is hard drugs.
They're two different things. I agree.
Yeah,
they're not hard drugs. Neither is smoking a cigarette a hard drug.
No, and neither is, I don't think alcohol
and
is.
Taking a beer is
now,
not a hard drug.
Now, if you abuse it, that's a different
story.
But
if I take 40 beers and get in a car, then I'm going to be causing all kinds of mayhem.
That's right. It's called abuse.
Here's the difference between alcohol and marijuana, guys. It's real simple. Alcohol will affect everybody the same way. You drink to a certain point, you're having fun. You drink to another point, you can turn violent. And it affects everybody the same way. Now, marijuana, I've never known of a violent marijuana smoker, number one. And what do you think the white man and the Indian put in their peace pipes when they all got along together? Okay? And you're not going to see a pot smoker driving 90 miles an hour down the street. He's going 25 miles an hour in a 55.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we generally think. But, everybody is different. They react different to that stuff entering their bloodstream. I mean, you have to admit. I know people that the more they drank, the quieter they got. I mean it. They went the opposite. But like you say, a lot of people get violent.
Now, what they give Joe Biden...
But not everybody's the same.
No.
Not everybody's the same.
Now, what they give Joe Biden would be considered a hard drug, a methamphetamine, to keep him awake. It's a hard drug. And did you see where Trump said that he will debate Joe Biden anywhere, anytime, and he wants both of them to do a drug test before the debate?
Yeah, that should be fun. Why don't we also do a cognitive test before the debate? As a matter of fact, let's have the cognitive test on the screen. We can watch it, and then they can debate after that. Well, I think they would, they would get a tremendous audience for that.
I would like to have to do a cognitive test for the people that vote for Biden, too, along with Biden, because there's got to be something wrong with them.
Maybe we should have some sort of a constitutional test before you're allowed to cast a ballot. Like, how many branches of government are there? Are we a republic or a democracy? How many Supreme Court justices are there? How many states are there in the union?
I don't think you need to go that deep. For crying out loud, Biden couldn't remember half of his family during the book interview.
So, well, no, but I'm talking about a common, we were talking about having a test before you
years
vote.
Years ago, you had to be a landowner to vote.
That's true.
If you didn't have, you didn't own any property, you couldn't vote.
Also, you had to be male.
Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that either.
We've got to be careful here. You know, Andrew, we are going all over the place with our topics today, which is fine. I just noticed, by the way, as long as we're doing that, that Trump is trying to recuse that judge in the hush money case. Did you see that?
Yes.
He's trying to get him recused. Poor Donald. He's
well, his daughter, the judge's daughter, is in cahoots with, what's his name there, in New York. I can't think of the senator in New York there, the German guy, Schumer.
Oh, Schumer?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not surprised. Everybody's
got
a connection.
They got pictures of him and her together. And this is all ridiculous. It was a setup. It needs to be thrown out of court, every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one of them. It's all politically motivated. You know, it's as my brother says, it's communism.
Yeah.
You're in prison. You're trying to imprison your political parties. Let's be real here. Your opponents.
Well, that's the only difference between us and Russia is Putin just kills them.
No,
we just try to keep
him off. Or he lets them languish in prison.
We just try to keep him off the ballot, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But, you know, the more they keep messing, Paul, if you saw Wisconsin yesterday, Trump is getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the Green Bay rally, but, you know, he always has his fans. It's always an exciting event wherever he goes. The guys, you know. Let's face it, he's quite a personality. Hey, by the way...
You know, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
They say the Republicans are going to vote for the immigration and the economy, where the Democrats are voting for climate change and...
Abortion and climate change.
That's their main concerns.
Yep.
Sprinkle a little
what is wrong with
there.
These people?
I know.
What is wrong with these people? You know... I saw an article yesterday where they showed the ocean levels have not moved. Plymouth Rock the 1672 was in the same place, in the same spot, and it hasn't moved, and the water level hasn't moved.
Andrew, you're wrong. They're called tides.
Tides?
Tides. Oceans have tides, they move.
Oh, well, I understand that.
Well, when they tell me that when they tell me the oceans are rising,
it rises and goes down.
It goes up and down two times a day.
My good friends live on the water, and I've asked them repeatedly, monthly, have you ever had to pull the furniture back up towards the house more because the water levels are coming up? No.
Or are you getting further away from the shoreline? If it's going the other way.
It's amazing. You know, Paul, as old as we are, how many times have you heard what's going to happen? Remember the swine flu?
I remember when we were worried it was going to be a cold. Climate change was going to, we were going to freeze over. They were making movies back in the 80s and 90s that were science fiction movies where the Earth was getting colder.
Yeah. The one with Dennis Quaid.
Yes. The day after,
or something like that.
Yeah.
I've got news for these people. There's nothing they're going to do to stop climate change if it happens, because the Earth and the solar system is too powerful, and man can't change nothing.
I mean,
they better get used to that fact. Tax money's not going to change this stuff.
Yeah. I'm for the common sense things that we should be throwing our garbage in the ocean and stuff like that. But you're really telling me that by putting restriction on the cars that we drive in the United States is going to make a difference in the entire globe?
Of course not.
When the rest of the countries are not doing it?
No. Exactly.
No, we're just the stupid ones that are paying for it.
You know, we need to go back in time a little bit if you want to save the world. Look at the grocery stores, nothing but plastic bags. What happened to the paper bags?
Well, I like the plastic bags because I got some cats and I use them for litter.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
We had paper bags. Yeah, everything was totally biodegradable, recyclable. Mm-hmm. Why are they still using plastic bags? Why don't they go back to the paper bags?
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. Hey, by the way, I want to just tell you how happy we are that your landlord unpadlocked your door at your barber shop and that you're allowing customers, he's allowing you to continue with your customers and allowing you to continue with your political beliefs.
Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it?
That was funnier than hell. Yep. For those of you that didn't listen to us on our Monday show, what an April Fool's joke that Andrew played on us about his place being padlocked.
I bet you I had Ed Dolly going on that one. He was all excited coming in, thinking it was going to be a liberal barbershop.
Ed Dolly, yeah, he was making reservations to come in to see you again.
My buddy.
All right, thanks so much, Andrew. We always appreciate it, buddy.
You guys have a good day. All right. See you.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the Harry Potter author, J.K. Rowling, she dares Scotland police to arrest her because she is challenging a new hate speech law.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcast Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For the final segment of Freedom Works, and I want to mention that we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Always happy when you're able to listen to us, but if you can't listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast, which means at your leisure, you can listen to our show. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, our website, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows up there, and away you go. J.K. Rowling, Ed, she is the author of the Harry Potter series. Mm. You know, most authors are relatively liberal people, so J.K. Rowling is a little bit different than that. She is challenging Scotland's new hate speech law. They have what's called a Hate Crime and Public Order Act. It warns against acts that, quote, stir up hatred against a group of persons, unquote, of certain protected characteristics. Those characteristics include age, disability, religion, or, in the case of a social or cultural group, perceived religious affiliation, sexual orientation, transgender identity, and variations in sex characteristics. How do you keep track of who you can offend and who you cannot? So Rowling, who lives in Edinburgh, began a thread on social media listing multiple biological male criminals who claim to be transgender just prior to being sentenced for various horrific crimes, expressing mock relief that their avowed gender identities were being respected. After slamming the new hate speech law in Scotland, Rowling declared, "If what I've written here qualifies as an offense under the terms of the new act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of the Scottish Enlightenment." So she's really sticking her chin out there, and, you know, they're not going to do anything to her. And this thing is going to fall apart, even in Scotland, I think.
One woman said that some transgender got up in front and said, I'm offended that you're here, and I'm afraid that you're here, and everything. She came back with a perfect quote. She said, "Life is tough. Get a helmet."
There you go. Okay. We're going to have to move quickly on our top 10, Ed, because we've kind of cut into that time. But these are the top 10 countries with the lowest suicide rates. Here we go. Number 10, the Philippines. They're all religious there. They're all Catholic, so I'm not surprised. 2.2 per 100,000 people. Number 9, Honduras. Well, that's another Catholic country. 2.1. Number 8, Venezuela. Also 2.1. Number 7, Syria. Yeah. It must be a law against suicide there. It's 2.0. Number 6.
How do they enforce it?
Good question. Number 6 is Jordan. Only 1.6 suicides per 100,000 there. Number 5.
That's religion there.
Yeah. There's some Muslim countries in here. I don't even know where this is. S-A-O is the first word, then T-O-M, Mary E. Sao Tome and Principe. It sounds like a little island. Mm. 1.5 suicides there. Number 4. St. Vincent and the Grenadines, 1.0 per 100,000. Number 3, Grenada, 0.7%. Boy, that's very, very few. Number 2, Barbados. I've been to Barbados. Have you been there?
Yes.
Did you know that there are very few suicides in Barbados?
Have you been? That's why you've been to Barbados.
Yeah, everybody likes Barbados. Yeah. 0.6 tenths of suicides per 100,000 people there. Okay. And it's actually in the Caribbean, I think, where the least are.
Probably like St. Lucia or something like that.
Yeah, well, I bet they're close. Have you, do you know where Antigua and Barbuda is?
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
0.4 suicides per 100,000 people. So we have... That's at Caribbean. Barbados is Caribbean. Is Grenada Caribbean also?
Well, it's actually Grenada. It's the last of the chain of islands down before you get to close to Jamaica.
Okay.
So you get the string of islands, it takes a right-hand turn down, St. Lucia, Barbados.
Well, we got a lot of them there. Very interesting how that is. So the Caribbean lifestyle keeps you from one end of the...
Yeah.
Knock yourself off. All right. We thank you so very much for listening to us. We are going to be back on Friday. Be safe out there. Be good. And always remember, freedom works.